I'm just going to let Brother Joe come on up and bring what he's prepared and what God's laid on his heart to share with us tonight. And so we'll have another good challenge and from the Word of God, and it'd be exciting to see what God's given him for us tonight. All right, so is your heart open? Are you ready? Good stuff on the way. All right.
Well, it's good to be here. Your pastor called me and invited me, and I thought, he said he's friends with, or that his sister-in-law had recommended him. I said, oh, no. I was good friends with Josh and Joy. Josh was very close. We wrestled every day in practice. He and I were about to say, and Josh is strong as a, he was strong as an ox. And we wrestled every day, and but I'm lots of fun, fond memories. And Josh and Joy, I've been on a lot of double dates with them before they were married. I was at their wedding, and so then he said Joy recommended me. I thought she must have been sick that day, but I'm glad to be here. I'm a stranger to you, so I thought, well, I'll start off by telling you my salvation testimony. Like our missionary said tonight, he was born into a Christian family. My parents had not been saved very long when I was born, and I was 4 years old. I can remember it to this day. My mom taught in a Christian school, and my dad was a janitor at the Christian school. So we didn't have any money. You know, we were broke. Of course, I didn't know that. I was just a kid. And I went to Christian school. And my dad was in Bible college at this time. And with the Tuttons in Florida, Jonathan Tutton was sitting next to me. And that day, he opened his lunchbox, and he had, you know, those Hostess cupcakes with little swirly tops on it, and you pull that plastic. He had two of those, and I did not have a snack. Now, I had lunch, but I did not have a snack. And I said, hey, John, give me one of them cupcakes. He said, no, I'm going to eat both of them. I said, no, you ain't. So I reached over and I grabbed one of those cupcakes. And he tried to get it from me, and I shoved the whole cupcake in my mouth. 4 year old, I could open my mouth wide, and the whole cupcake went in. He tried to get it. It was a fight was on right there. The teacher saw me take the cupcake and saw me attack Jonathan Tutton. And she grabbed me by my ear and hauled me down the hallway to my mother's class. My mother is 5 foot tall and has bright red hair and a temper to match. And she said, your son is a thief, and he attacked a child in our class and stole his cupcake. The evidence was still on my face, and I was still enjoying it. My mom explained to me in very simple terms that she was not going to raise a thief. She would rather have a dead son than a thief for a son. And I think she tried to kill me. And then she said the dreaded words, and you just wait till your daddy gets home. All afternoon, I had to sit on the couch at home. She wouldn't let me move, wouldn't let me talk. I had to sit there on that couch. Dad got home, Mom at the front door. Hands on her hips, hair super red. She says, your son is a thief and beat a kid up at school. Great exaggeration, right? And then my dad explained to me the same thing my mom had already explained to me. But in his explanation, he used a word that scared me to death. He said, stealing is a sin. And as a four-year-old boy, I realized I had sinned. And I think that may be the first time I ever realized that I was a sinner. And I knew from going to Sunday school every week of my life that sinners go to hell. I thought, I wonder if that means I have to go to hell. I wonder if that means... So I went and asked Dad, I said, because I stole that cupcake, does that mean I have to go to hell? And Dad set me on the couch, and then he explained to me something I already knew, but I didn't know it was for me. That Jesus died to pay for my sins. Hey, as a four-year-old boy, I realized that Jesus died for me. If nobody else in the whole world stole a cookie, Jesus would have still died on the cross. He did it for me. And I asked Jesus to come into my heart. You know, it's simple. Salvation is simple. A four-year-old boy can understand it. Then when I was 12 years old, a man came to our church and he had just gone to Africa. And this is when videotape was new. We didn't have a TV growing up. And they had a TV at church and it took these little black boxes and they put it in there and it could show pictures that moved. I was really impressed by that. A missionary had gone to Africa and he had a video camera. And they took a video of him preaching in a village that had never one time seen a Bible. Never one time. This was in Zaire. Never one time seen a Bible. Never one time heard the name Jesus. And they got to preach in that village. And when he preached, over 30 villagers came down and knelt at the bottom of a mango tree and asked Jesus to come in their heart. And I borrowed that tape from my preacher. And at school, I would put it in that machine and I would play it and I would rewind it and play it again and I would rewind it and play it again. And I said, Lord, if you'll let me, I'll go to a place like that and tell people that have never heard about Jesus. When I graduated college, my wife and I did deputation. We went to a place called Ivory Coast, Côte d'Ivoire. It's on the other side of Africa. It's on the west side of Africa. And he's on the east side. We were on the west side. And it's a beautiful country. 3 months after we were there, it fell into civil war. And it was in a state of civil war the entire time. We were there for 10 years. And then we went to Ghana, and we were there for another 5 years. But I went to, in Ivory Coast, I got to go to a village. It was 16 hours from my house, about 12 hours driving, and about a four-hour walk through the jungle. And it was a village that had never one time seen the Bible. Had never one time heard the name Jesus. And I got to preach in that village. Amen. I remembered being a 12-year-old boy telling God, I will do that if you let me. And God let me. God's let me do all kinds of exciting things. And I found out something. If you want to serve God, He wants to use you. A poor boy from East Texas, God will use you. I'm nothing special. But God said, if you want to let me use you, I can use you. Hey, I'm so thankful. Your pastor asked me to speak on Faith Promise missions. I've been involved in Faith Promise as long, I cannot remember a year that I have not been involved in Faith Promise. I've always, it's just been part of our family. Our church is a very big Faith Promise church. We don't have, our church, it runs about 150 on Sunday morning. Last year, and that's buses and everything, 150 on Sunday morning. Last year, we gave $212,000 to missions. There's no rich people in our church. There's no one big giver. It's that we have 97% of our members involved in Faith Promise. That's what it takes. It's just everybody doing their part. And what is your part? What is Faith Promise? Faith Promise is simply God's plan for us to fulfill the Great Commission. Because what is the Great Commission? The Bible says to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The Bible says both, it says in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. But it says both in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. It says both at the same time. I can't be in DeRidder, Louisiana, and in my hometown of St. Augustine, Texas, and in Kenya, and in the uttermost part of the earth at the same time. I can't physically do that. So how can we do it? God has a plan. It's called Faith Promise. That's what we call it. It's just simply God's plan. We just call it Faith Promise because it's how we put it into words. What is Faith Promise? We go to a missions conference like this. And this missions conference is simply a business meeting about what you're going to do for missions in this coming year. God says, hey, Joe, how much money you got? I said, I don't know. I don't really want to tell you. God says, hey, Joe, how much money you got? And I look in my wallet. God says, Joe, I want you to give that $3. God, my car's on empty. Joe, I want you to give that $3 to missions. God, my car's on empty and the electric bill's due on Friday. Joe, I want you to give that $3. I don't want to. God said, Joe, I want you to give that $3 to missions. Whew. Has anybody else had that same conversation with God? So then, okay, if you say you want it, I'll give it to you. I don't know why you want my $3. Preacher's got all kind of money. Right? But if you want me to give my $3, I will give my $3. So, with all the worries I have, I give my $3. That was it. You know? That was it. And God, I gave my $3 to church. I didn't give my $3 to the Red Cross. I didn't give my $3 to some missions organization that's not part of our church. I gave it to the church. And the preacher, he takes that $3 and he gives it to each of the missionaries. That's how it works. We give our money to the church. The church distributes it to the missionaries. Are these all your mission? I like these boats back here. I like those. I'm going to take a picture of it and send it to our preacher. I steal ideas, right? I like it. Okay. I like these boats. But the preacher takes, he distributes it evenly to all those missionaries. And then I'm back over here. And I turn around, and God gave me my $3 back before I even needed it. The next time, it ain't that hard to give the $3 because God gave it back. So I go to the church. I plop that $3 in the offering plate. The preacher takes it, and he gives it to missionaries. And I'm over here, and God says, "Hey, Joe, there it is, your missions money." And it just, so the next year, God says, "Hey, Joe, how much money you got?" "I got 20. God said, "Hey, Joe, I want you to give that 20 to missions." Last year I gave 3, and I was worried about that. God says, "Hey, Joe, I want you to give that 20. "Lord, can I give 4? "Hey, Joe, I want you to give 20. "But God, gas went up this year. And my electric bill went up this year. And have you seen the prices of the stuff at the grocery store?" God says, "Hey, Joe, I want you to give that 20. "There. Whoop. I hope I can get that." Right? I gave it. And the preacher takes it. And he distributes it to the missionaries. And then God gives it back to me. I'm like, "God, why didn't you give me $20 last year?" Because that ain't how it works. This is simply God's plan. And it works. I found out when I was a little boy and started out with a quarter. My parents didn't give me that quarter. I had to find those quarters. Huh? And God gave me a quarter every week that I could put in for my missions offering. Then it went to 2 quarters. Now I don't want to tell you how many quarters, because it hurts my feelings. It still scares me to death at missions conference time. I said this in a missions conference, and my preacher, "Do you live stream?" You don't? Good. My preacher, he's going to be listening. He's going to be looking for this. Right? He likes to. And I said this. And he said, "Joe, you ought not to say that." I said, "When it comes time to make my missions offering, I argue with God. I do." He said, "Joe, you should not argue with God." I know I shouldn't. But I'm tight. I squeak when I walk. Huh? And I can't help it. I know God's going to take care of me. I know whatever I put in missions, He's already promised He's going to take care of it. I know all that. And yet still I argue with Him, because it just seems like God wants more and more every year. But it's not that. It's my faith grows more and more every year. That's what faith promise is. It's this easy, and anybody can get involved in it. And guess what? At the end of the year, every soul that is brought to Jesus by these missionaries, you have a part in it. It's just really easy to have a part in missions. They're going to go to the Dominican Republic. He's going to go to Zambia. Kenya, sorry. They all speak Swahili. All they speak Swahili. Right? Right? They're going to go to Kenya. They're going to go. Where'd they go? They went over here. They're going to go to some place in Europe that I can't even remember the name of. I've never heard of a missionary going there. Huh. They're going to go there in my place. I get to stay in East Texas. Drive my nice car. Stay in my nice house. And they go to places for me, in my place. But guess what? They can't reach people in DeRidder, Louisiana. This is kind of a partnership. They trust that you will take the gospel to DeRidder, Louisiana, to your relatives, to your neighbors, to your co-workers. It's your job to do that for them. That's what the Great Commission is all about. Is getting the gospel to everywhere at the same time. It's a plan of God. Let's take our Bible and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. In just a minute, we're going to stand and read a little bit of the Bible. We got to stretch our legs. It'll be a time to stretch our legs. Just a minute. I want to kind of fill you in where we are. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, Samuel, he was just a kid. Eli was the prophet. And his sons were bad news. And God had spoken to Samuel. Samuel said, "Here am I," and all that had happened. And a big battle took place. And they took the Ark of God to kind of show it off. Our God is bigger than your God. But it just so happened that God was mad at them at the moment. And God said, "I ain't fighting for you today." And the Ark of God got taken by the Philistines. And a bunch of... Then they messed up and put the Ark of God in a fake God's temple. And God got mad about that and said, "No, you got to send me back. You got to send the box back home." And they realized that after a bunch of bad stuff happened. So that's where we are. Let's stand, take our Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7. They're tired of this thing. They're going to send it home. "Now therefore, make a new cart and take two milk kine on which there hath come no yoke, and tie the kine to the cart and bring their calves home from them. And take the ark of the Lord and lay it upon the cart and put the jewels of gold which ye return him for a trespass offering in a coffer by the side thereof, and send it away that it may go." They're sick of it. They even send in offerings, right? "And see if it goeth up by the way of his own coast to Beth Shemesh, then he hath done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us. It was a chance that happened to us." We just want to see if it really is the God that belongs in this box, or if it's just an accident. Maybe it's just an accident. "And the men did so, and took the two milk kine, and tied them to the cart, and shut up their calves at home. And they laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart, and the coffer with the mice of gold, and the images of the emerods. And the kine took the straight way to the way of Beth-Shemesh and went along the highway, lowing as they went, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them to the border of Beth-Shemesh. And they of Beth-Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley and lifted up their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll get into the message tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this church. And Lord, thank you for the people that are here on Wednesday night, Lord, at our missions conference. And speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, help us to leave here closer to you than when we got here this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So, they came up with this plan to put the ark on a cart and send it. And guess what? It worked. Crazy thing, right? Put a load on a cart and it actually worked out its way. But I want you to see something else. We're going to turn our Bibles a little bit to 2 Samuel chapter number 6. Now, David was going to take the ark from where it had stayed that whole time and move it to Jerusalem to where it's supposed to be, right? David was going to move the cart. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart. The Philistines had done it, and it worked great. Put the ark of God on a new cart, and they brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio, and the sons of Abinadab drave the new cart. It's going just how the Philistines said to do it. Here we are. It's moving along fine, right? And they brought it, and David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and psalteries and timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. Hey, it's a parade, right? We are moving the ark of God, and we're going to put it in Jerusalem where it's supposed to be. And we are going to enjoy the whole trip. Right? And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. All right? That's only natural. Have you ever been walking beside something that's going to fall? It's only natural just to reach up and touch it. Uzzah did what was natural. They're moving the cart just like the Philistines moved it. And it's going to fall. And he reached up. It had worked up until this point. And he touched it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. And God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased. Right? Hey, God had rained on his parade. Right? David was displeased. Now, the Philistines did it, and it worked. David did it. It didn't work. Why? Why didn't it work? Looking, we're going to turn it over to 1 Chronicles chapter 13. And they realize that this is going on long enough. they do need to get that ark to Jerusalem. And David was afraid of God. Look at verse 12. And David was afraid of God. Why was he afraid of God? Because he saw him kill Uzzah for touching the ark. Why did Uzzah touch the ark? Because it was going to fall off their cart. And David said, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? Maybe that was a question he should have asked before. Look in 1 Chronicles 15, verse 2. Somehow or another, when David asked that question, God showed him in his word that there was a specific way to move the ark. It says, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. God said, the only way that you're supposed to move that ark is you put those little wooden sticks in it, just like I made them make the rings for. I made them do all that on purpose. You put the, and then you pick it up, and you carry it. And only the Levites carry it. Because it's a plan, and we have to work to plan. That's how you move the ark. None ought to move the ark but the Levites. You put the sticks in it, you pick it up, and you carry it. So they went there and they put the sticks in it, and they picked it up, and they carried it. And guess what? It worked. They brought that ark right where it was supposed to be, and God didn't kill anybody. They had their parade, and nobody was even afraid that God was going to kill them. Because why? They did things God's way. You know, we can do all kinds of research on a better way to fulfill the Great Commission. You can ask businessmen, and faith promise doesn't work. They have a better way of supporting missions. And their paper model will work just great. But guess what? It's not God's plan. The world can do things like that, and it can work. You can watch those Feed the Orphan commercials on TV. Hey, they get lots of money. Lots more than we do. Lots more than the Baptists give to any missionary. They get lots of it. I've lived in Africa. I've never seen a Feed the Orphan actually get the money. Have you seen it? I lived in Ghana. My aunt sent me a picture. We send 20 bucks a month to this little orphan in Ghana. She said, did you live in Ghana? Guess what? That kid wasn't in Ghana. I called. I went to the village where they said that kid was. Hey. The world can do things, and it looks like it works. Brother, if you and I tried it, it wouldn't work. Because it's not God's plan. Guess what? I belong to God. That's why it didn't work for David. That's why it didn't work for Uzzah. They knew how to move the ark. They got brought up in those synagogues, and they were taught the law of God from the time they could from the time they were potty trained. They knew the plan of God on how to move the ark. Everybody knew it. It was common knowledge. It wasn't like it slipped up on them. Faith promise works for Christians because it's God's plan. There is no plan but that plan. God doesn't have alternate plans. He has a plan, and guess what? Either you follow it or you don't. If you want to be like David and Uzzah and not follow God's plan, you're welcome to. But don't expect God's blessing. If you're a Christian, don't expect God to be happy about you trying to serve Him your own way. God has a plan. And that plan, we're going to look at it this whole week, is simply faith promise. Hey, Joe, how much money you got? You think God has to ask me that? He knows how much money I have. I won't tell you. Right? Hey, Joe, I want you to give what you have. God, you know what? God has never asked me for something I didn't have. I went to a missions conference one time. Brother Creel, that preacher was crazy. It wasn't God's plan. He said, every missionary here, we're going to take you on for your full amount of support. Every missionary here, we're going to take you on. If you need $5,000 a month, we're going to give you $5,000 a month. There were six people at church. The pastor and his wife and four people that had about eight teeth. And I thought, I asked the preacher, I said, how are you going to give that amount of money to missions? And he said, we don't know, but God told us. I said, are you sure it was God that said that? Because God has never asked me for more money than I have. He said, this is faith promise. I said, brother, it's between me and you. And I said, you know, when Paul was going to be let down over that wall in a basket, that wasn't a little bitty wall. He was way up there, and he had to get in a basket. And there was people that had to hold the ropes, and I'm not kidding you. I'll guarantee you, Paul said, let me see your muscles. Right? I'm going to get in that basket, but I want to know who's holding that rope. Right? Are you going to hold a rope? Come on, you're going to have to flex it. Right? I weigh 245 pounds. I'm going to get in that basket, and you better be able to hold on to me. I'm afraid of heights. You're going to have to hold on. And I want to know how strong you are. These missionaries, they're wondering, no, are you going to be able to support us or not? Right? They're going to go. I've been on the other side of the world. When 2008 hit, and the economic crisis hit, and I thought, Lord, how strong are they, right? I was on the other side of the world when the dollar went from being a strong dollar to a weak dollar. Exchange rate changed overnight. I lost 50% of the support that I thought I had just from exchange rates. Hey, it works good when it when the exchange rate works for you, but when it falls, hey, that ain't no fun. Lord, I'm all the way over here in the jungle. How strong am I? How big's their faith? God took care of me. God took care of the churches that supported us. I'm going to go back up there before I make this thing ring. Right? God took care of us. How strong are you? How strong is your faith? When God says, hey, I want you to give that 20. God's not going to ask you for the 40 that you don't have. It's a plan that God is all, and it works. It worked for me. It worked for you. Faith promise. But we have to do it God's way. If we want it to work, we have to do it God's way. Let's all stand on our feet.